may be seated. Our special this morning is by Gail and Randy, Living Sacrifice.
Okay, so we're going to sing this morning, and I'm going to tell you something. Gary came up this morning, and he apologized to me because he hadn't asked Randy and I to sing specials anymore. It wasn't Gary. It was me. Because I have a funky voice anymore, and sometimes my voice comes out, and sometimes it doesn't. And so last week, he caught me in the hallway, and he said, "Would you be willing to sing a special?" And I didn't have a good excuse at the moment. And I said, "Sure." And then he says, "Next week." And I went, "Yeah, sure." Well, he said, "Well, you could have 2 weeks." I said, "No, 2 weeks doesn't work." So then there was this song that's in my mind. And over the years when I sang it, was God would always tell me the song that I was supposed to sing. Only when I told my husband, because I drug him into it because I was nervous about it and I hadn't sang in a long time. And if I can't sing, he can sing and all of that kind of stuff. He said, "What are you doing singing a 40-year-old song?" And I go, "Well, sometimes 40-year-old songs have really good messages." And then Cher came out to practice, and I said, "Okay, Cher, God is telling me this 40-year-old song." And I said, "But if it sounds like a 40-year-old song, I want you to tell me it's a 40-year-old song, and God will give me a different song, or we'll pick another song." So the name of it is Living Sacrifice, but it's also a setup song because this is the middle of January, and you all know what I do in July. And when you listen to the words of this song, remember the words of this song when you see me coming and you're not allowed to turn and run. You need to say, "I'm going to sacrifice my body for the First Baptist Church of Marionville and for the glory of the Lord, and I can help these children." So remember that and pray for me as I sing because I haven't done this in a long time.
That's quite a commercial there, honey.
I know, it was a commercial.
Until I reach that place, how little I have given to you. Lord, break down my will, make my desires your own. I long to give my everything to you. Take my life, a living sacrifice. The least that I can do, make my life.
Take my life, a living sacrifice. Man, I don't know how old that song is, but it sounds good to me. I think it'll be appropriate at any time. Just like God's word is always appropriate. You know, it's funny that it's so long ago that God inspired his word, but it's still relevant today. It's up to date, and it always speaks to us if we will listen. We're looking at Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Now Jesus began to go over all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout Syria. So they brought him all those who were afflicted, all those who were suffering from various diseases and intense pains, the demon-possessed, the epileptics, the paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee to Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Thank you, Father. We just pray that we can continue to preach your word, to teach your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that there'll be a following for Jesus right here in our church as well as our town and our country. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Randy and Gail. Beautiful. I don't know what happened to the mic. One of the projects we have on the year ahead is upgrade a tad. We're getting some FCC excitement. We have the wireless microphones. And I'm no sound guy, but some guys say you use wireless, and some guys you plug them in. And either one, the one shorts out and the other tunes out. But thank you. That was beautiful. Sure appreciated. Age seems to be the unannounced theme of our service today, which reminds me of a family story. My niece turned 5 years old, and you know how handy that is? When someone asks, how old are you? You just go, hold out your hand, and you're 5 years old. So it got to be a thing at a family get-together with my dad, and he said, how old are you, Megan? She'd go, five. And so kind of the same mistake that Gary did, you know, asked Megan how old he thought she thought he was. She thought about it a minute, and she went, whatever the ultimate age was, it was a multiple of five. So we had a lot of fun with that. Hey, we are in a series of things. January, we have actually put the holidays behind us. We've turned our face into the new year, and it's kind of full speed ahead. The next big mountain for us, the next big activity time and things we're working on is Easter, which means that come next Sunday after church, choir's going to gather down here by the piano, and we just, since everybody's here, we kind of stay a few minutes afterwards, and we begin working on an Easter musical. So the meeting last week bore a lot of fruit, and they're getting ready to get underway. I want to mention that probably in 2 weeks we'll shave everything just a little bit because we will have to have a business meeting by the end of the month. That's not a big deal, but it's important that I announce that and get that word out now. And I'm doing it in front here where Gary can't really say anything bad about it. It's not like at staff meeting where he goes, I don't know that I like that. But we got to do them all, so we'll make it work. But we are looking forward to that. And as we're in our pulpit time, we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. Let's go ahead and call up our first slide today and talk about what the topic is. I really admire Zach. We're going to read another passage. I want to finish that sentence. Zach never knows what I'm going to say, and he has limited options to click on. So there's a whole lot of grace that he gives me in trying to move in the right direction. But here's what I want you to notice is very different and similar. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 9. So flip over a couple pages, and it says, Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, here's the words, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. Does that not sound exactly what Terry read in chapter 4? There's a reason for that. And when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." So let's do just a little bit of Bible study. Go to the next slide, if you would, and I can put it into context. Today we're going to talk about the king's character. We're reminding about Matthew's purposes. It's an explanation. It's a training book. It's a book of worship. But we're talking about Jesus being the king. Matthew is showing us that Jesus is the king of the Jews. He's the fulfillment of all of the prophecy and all of the plan and purpose of God coming to be our perfect sacrifice. Go to the next slide, if you would. Our series, we're cherry-picking in the Gospel of Matthew some key things. Last week, we talked about his arrival. And we began with kind of Matthew 1:1, and we went into chapter 4, where Jesus was demonstrated to be, by history, by his lineage, by his recognition by John the Baptist, and by his willingness to take on the evil one, he was proven a worthy candidate to be king. And now he begins this public ministry. So today we're going to talk about his character. Next slide, if you would. We're beginning. This is the there's the punchline right up front. If you don't get anything else, our king is not whimsical. Our king is not a tyrant. Our king is caring and compassionate. Our king came sacrificially on the basis of love to buy us back to the kingdom. Next slide, if you would. We're beginning to talk about what is the scholars call the Great Galilean Ministry. And it is characterized by those participles. I should have paid better attention in English class. But the key on this, you see, you have nouns, you have verbs, you have objects, you have adverbs. Well, this is the brilliance of the Greek language. A participle is a verbal noun. Talk about confusing. The way you know, it ends in the letters ing. In other words, there's the word preach, which is a verb. Well, it can also be a noun, but it is a verb that Jesus went around preaching. We ended last week's message on the idea that as John the Baptist was saying, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus, John was arrested. Jesus emerged and he's saying the exact same thing. Repent. Preaching is announcing certainties. It's letting people know of the new thing. So it's a verb. But he did it continually. And that's the ing. He came preaching. He taught. He teached. But he was teaching. Yeah, I know. Teachers, I know. Just cover your ears for a few minutes. And then there's one other little grammar thing coming later, but I'll warn you, okay, if I think of it. Well, you know what we say a lot of times about the just shall walk by faith? Literally, the nuance of the Greek language is it's not faith, it's faithing. So the reality of the Christian life is we're going to bump up against all kinds of things. And when we walk by faith, we have our confidence, our trust, and our hope in the Lord. But it's not just faith, like it's a thing you pick up and move around and can do over there, or something that you do every now and then. No, a description of the Christian life is faithing it. And so what Jesus was doing in his Galilean ministry is he was preaching it, he was teaching it, and he was healing it. Because those were ongoing things. Now let's back up just a minute. Go back to chapter 4 if you have a copy open. Otherwise, just listen quick. I try to be a good verbal guide. We ended chapter 4 where Jesus began the great Galilean ministry. Now I know we left out calling Peter and Andrew and James and John. That's another thread on the sermon series. We'll come back and cherry pick that up after a little bit. But he went out and he was doing all of these things, and the common denominator is the word crowds. Let me find it. Large crowds followed him from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So he was preaching to the crowds. The next word is teaching. And if you look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, and then you have the Sermon on the Mount. And it's all of chapter 5, and it's all of chapter 6, and it's all of chapter 7. Chapter 7 ends, here key word is crowds. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. So do you see it? Preaching, teaching, what comes next? Pop quiz. Healing. You look at chapter 8. A man with leprosy came up and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You realize that in all of chapter 8 and in all of chapter 9, amongst teaching moments and teaching opportunities, there are 9 different people who come to Jesus for healing. All right, now remember, Matthew, it's not just a biography. It's a book of worship. It's a training manual for new disciples like us. It's an explanation and a document that proclaims out there, this is what's going on. So preaching is announcing certainties. Teaching is explaining and giving understanding about those things that are preached and true. Healing, we know in a physical sense what healing is. It feels good to feel good, and that's a testimony today. And it feels bad when you feel bad. And Jesus is our great physician who with great compassion reached out and touched lepers. And he raised the widow's son. And he healed the centurion's servant. And the lady who reached out to him and touched the hem of his garment was totally changed. And when we are broken and we are bruised, we go to him and we ask for that healing. But it's very, very interesting because healing is often an application of the things that were told to us that we've come to understand. In fact, another nuance of the word healing is the word to serve or serving. So hear me carefully. Don't read into anything. I believe Jesus healed these people, but Jesus did not and has not healed everybody. I do believe healing is possible. Oh my goodness. At the same time, God is still going to call us home. I don't know. I'm going to pray and ask for healing. But if we're a living sacrifice, see, if we live, we live unto the Lord. If we die, we die unto the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. All right, so let's do what we can. I'm not out to cause controversy. I'm wanting to say, hey, look, chapter 4 leads right into teaching. Chapter 5, 6, 7 leads right into healing. Chapters 8 and 9, and it says, and Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news, healing every disease. And then this. And when he saw the crowds. So, I'm going to borrow the main points of today's message. No, I'm not going to borrow them. I'm stealing them from Josh McDowell, who was a student speaker for Youth for Christ, Campus Crusade for Christ, when I was in college. And I have tried to come up with better points than Josh McDowell. Guess how that has gone? No way. So I'm going to give you his points because they give you the essence of this text. But then I'm going to add to it. Point number one is we must see what Jesus saw. When he saw the crowds. All right. He saw a multitude of people. Today there are over 8 billion people on planet Earth. The population of our planet is growing by some 67 million people a year. And that's an incredible churn and turnover when you think of how much sickness and how much death and how much war. But it's kind of exciting when you think about how many new babies there are. How much health we've been able to life extend and do. Jesus saw a multitude of people, and he cared about the group and their needs. Hey, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Well, it was a big deal because it wasn't just a crowd. It was a lot of individual tummies that were empty. He saw a multitude of problems. And I don't really know how to begin to talk about this. There are health problems today. We know of folks who are dealing with things right now. There used to be a thing called the common cold. We don't worry about the common cold anymore because the common cold is just a doorway into all kinds of other stuff that is really very, very serious in our day and in our time. And you know what? I remember my grandma saying when she was a kid there was a rheumatic fever. My mom has shared testimonies of friends who were in an iron lung because of, what was the illness, tuberculosis or was it? Polio, yes, polio. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's always been something health-wise. Ladies and gentlemen, it will always be something because it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Look at, where do I even begin? I brought our Baptist paper. By the way, I've put a sign-up sheet here and one at the back. This paper will be mailed to you for free if we just submit your name to the office. But some good things are on here. The Missouri Mission Offering that we were a part of, that I was in that video on, they've raised $900,000+. It's close to $1 million that Baptist churches have put into ministry in the state of Missouri. But you just go in here and you start looking at, okay, what are we going to do? Praise the Lord, Roe v. Wade is gone. What are we going to do now with all the babies that are coming on? Do you know the Tri-County Pregnancy Center is having a special event where they're asking us to come in and help them financially? Because if we say it's wrong to take a baby before it's born, we want that child to come and grow. Are we going to, as Christians, get behind supporting that? Or are we just going to tell the rest of the world, y'all shouldn't act that way? What are we going to do? Title IX protections. Do you realize that the LGBTQ lobby, and this was on my phone news app yesterday, they have used Title IX protections about making male and female sports equal? Well, there's this big deal about if you're a guy or if you're not a guy, do you play on the guy's team? I still go back to what Red Skelton said at that thing. He said, so amazing technology. We know what a baby is in the womb, if it's a little boy or if it's a little girl. Today, we don't know outside of the womb if it's a little boy or a little girl. They don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, they're attacking our Christian schools because if a university accepts any kind of federal money and they say you're violating Title IX, they're going to take that away, and it's a way to take out Christian education. Not okay. Economic issues. Are you all disappointed you didn't win the $1 billion? Imagine what $1 billion in an economy of a town in Maine of 6,500 people. He's not going to have much privacy. Oh, and isn't it great? Your world is doing good. The recession doesn't bother you. Inflation doesn't bother you. You're just paying everything you used to at the grocery store. Did you watch the news this week where a man from our area was sentenced to 3 life sentences because he killed his wife and his in-laws? His in-laws came because his wife was recovering from surgery. He told them to go home, and they didn't go home, so he got his gun and shot him. That's in Southwest Missouri, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday morning, I woke up, and it was a nice lady from Aurora, kidnapped, headed toward Monette. We had an abduction in Ash Grove. I'm sitting here going, this is crazy. Talk about a multitude of problems. And then, since I'm already in trouble talking about abortion and stuff like this, let me just go all the way. Can you believe we have two presidents, sitting and former, in trouble with the law because of classified documents? Let me tell you what would have happened to Chaplain Gilmore if a classified document was found at his house. There wouldn't be no discussion. It wouldn't be on the evening news. And I don't care what political side you're on, it's wrong both ways, and it's nuts how everybody's acting about it. Personal opinion, that was not gospel. But I watched the news, and I don't know whether to eat like crazy because I better fatten up because the world's going to go kaboom, or whether I'm so sick to my stomach I don't know what I ought to do. Multitude of priorities. Which priority? And then to top it all off, Jesus said, you know what? We're going to look to the church, and I'm going to ask my disciples to be a helper. And we're the mission force that's puny. How are we doing? Are we really salt and light? Are we really making an impact on these things? Hey, look, this edition was very helpful to me because it talks about what our universities are doing. I believe in our Christian education. Here's a whole article in here about what our disaster response. Oh, yeah. Going to go visit California this week? No. But our disaster response people are there. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're doing in these love offerings that I hit you up on 3-4 times a year, that money goes right through, and it is making a difference. If you don't know what's going on, just sign up and let us send that to you. We won't just dump it on you, but we'll let you go. Number one, you got to see what Jesus saw. And the word for seeing is more than images on our eye. It refers to perceiving. It refers to understanding. Jesus saw the problems of the multitudes. He knew that some were dealing with that and others had these issues. And there was this systemic stuff that's going on. Our world is not a shock to the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that makes me feel better. Which leads us to point number two. We must feel what Jesus felt. All right, I just told you a bunch of stuff, and I didn't camp on it because we don't have a lot of time. Did you feel angry about something there? We should be angry about some things. Were you sad about some things? Do you ever watch the news and go, oh my goodness. Glad. That one's a little harder. But that's the way I remember it. Mad, sad, glad, and afraid. There's a few things. I always get a kick out of the national news. Disaster here, terrible there, crisis here, politics there, blah, blah, blah. And then the end. But there's good news tonight. And for the last 30 seconds, you get a little cherry on top of it all. Of somebody did something good somewhere. All right. You ever watch the news and get afraid? How many of us have honestly said, I don't know what's going to happen to my kids and my grandkids? Ouch. But you know, Jesus looked at these problems and those problems and the problems of any generation, and he didn't get mad. He didn't get sad. He didn't get afraid. He brought joy, and his answer was, go to the next slide if you would, compassion. But when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them. Now, go to the next slide. This is my other little language thing. It's a perfect passive. In other means, the passive meant it was an action that happened. And the perfect in the Greek language meant that it continued on. The thing went forward. So he had compassion for the distressed. He felt it in that moment, and it carried on. The word distressed, translated worried, troubled, bewildered, wearied. It's the picture of a person who's been robbed and been struck over the head and they're laying prostrate on the ground. Ever been distressed? Where something whacks you and you just don't know what you're going to do about it? Jesus had compassion for people in that condition. The downcast, it literally means to throw down. It means dejected. It means to be laid low. It means that you're the underdog and you know it. Have you seen, it really does bother me. Just a little personal note. The tornadoes this week in Alabama, the last thing anybody needs in their life is to have a microphone stuck under your nose and say, how do you feel? They are capitalizing on the trauma of other people to sell news stories to us. But do you hear what they say? Look, this was part of our training. When a soldier would come to me and says, I don't know what to feel. Bing, that's a warning. This person doesn't need to be broadcasting their attention. They need attention paid to them. 10 storms in California since Christmas. Those people are downcast. They're dejected. Jesus has compassion on these things. He has compassion for the lost. The sheep die without a shepherd. They do not have the ability to find what they need by themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, that word compassion is translated in your King James Version. It's not a word we use often in church, but I don't have a better word for it. It's the word bowels. Jesus was moved to his very core. He was moved at a gut level, not with anger, not with condemnation, not with fear. Jesus never walked around and said, oh my goodness, what is the Heavenly Father going to do about this? Jesus was moved with a gut-wrenching level of compassion that said, God cares about this, and I will be doing the will and work of God as long as I have the daylight to walk in. Which leads us to point three. We not only see what Jesus saw, we not only feel what Jesus felt, we must do what Jesus did. Now, this is scary to me because Jesus turned to his disciples. That's what it says. Then he turned to his disciples and said, the harvest is abundant and the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. He turned to the disciples. Ladies and gentlemen, if we in the church are not co-partners with God in the things that God wants us to do, shut the doors and go home. And we may not be able to do everything. We may not be able to even dent the size and scope of the problem. But when we are a partner with the God of heaven, there is no stopping what could be done. Turn to his disciples. Jesus looks at people like us and he states the facts. Hey, look. It's a mess. And we don't have enough workers. But we have the power of heaven at our disposal. We can call upon the name of the Lord every time we bow our head and name the name of Jesus. The lost can be found. The sinner can be saved. Oh my goodness. The world can change. Let me tell you honestly, folks, the problem in America today is that it's not that there aren't enough signs and wonders. The problem in America today is there aren't enough saints who are workers. We want to pray that God will do another miracle or that Jesus will do what only Jesus can do. Listen, friend, only Jesus can do it. We can hook them up with the people in need. We can help them with the preparation. We can turn the resources and the tap. And remember again, another word for healing. We can go preach the gospel because lives are changed. We can teach the word of God because lives are changed. I'm not very much of a healer, but another nuance of that word healing is serving. I can serve. I can care about the veteran with suicide. I can use my time, talent, and treasure in ways that promote the gospel and promote the teaching of the word of God and help things come into perspective. Miracles only happen when we take the gospel to the world, when we take his teaching to heart, and when we are willing to serve in other ways. And the last one is, and I really glossed that over, because really the last point on there means we need to get thrown out of church. We all ought to be thrown out of church. I don't care who you are, how long you've been here, you heard it from your preacher. You need to get thrown out of church just like me, because that's what Jesus said. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out. That word is ekbalo. It's the Greek prefix ek, meaning out, and ball. This is how smart guys learn Greek. Balo, ball, throw. Jesus wants to get us out of the church building and into the world to preach the gospel, to teach the truth, serve, heal, apply the truth to broken humanity. I used to think getting thrown out of church was pretty bad. Came close a couple times, even though my dad was a deacon. But the Great Commission is about throwing us out into the world. Let's go. Yeah, as Jesus went into all the cities and villages of Galilee, the Great Commission tells us we are to go into all the world. Next one. As Jesus proclaimed the gospel, we're to do what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations. As Jesus taught in the synagogue, whatsoever things I commanded you, teach them all things whatsoever I commanded you. We are to remember that he has all authority and is with us at all times. You think Matthew's trying to put a little comprehensive togetherness in the tool that shows us what our Christian lives are to look like? Isn't that amazing? We need to see what Jesus saw. And I know you see it. Where I fail is I don't feel what Jesus felt. I get mad. I get discouraged. Jesus felt compassion. And if we can work through those initial reactions of ours and get to the gut level reaction that Jesus had, we will then do what Jesus did. We will join forces with fellow disciples and we will unite in doing the things he did. Preaching, verbal nouns, okay? Preaching, teaching, healing, making the world a better place. Is it any wonder that people came from miles around? Because they wanted to be with a person who loved them and cared for them just like that. All right, time to stop. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the things I'm learning again as we walk through Matthew's gospel. Thank you that you are the king. Thank you for these who in their own lives have crowned you the king. And thank you for this place where you are the ruler and the leader. We pray, Lord, that we might learn more how to be kingdom people. But it comes from following your example to begin with, of preaching the good news. There's one here today who's never responded to the gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, our altar is open, and we'd love that conversation to show them in the Bible how to become a Christian. There are others, Lord, who are dealing with personal issues in their lives, and again, we often don't move much, but our altar is always open, and there is not a neighbor or friend in the pew near us. If we would just ask, they would pause and pray with us about any need in our life. Lord, thank you for a family such as this. And Lord, we do want to be involved in taking the good news to the people who need it the very, very most. Give us wisdom in that. It's easy to say we ought to do that. It's hard to figure out exactly how we can and must do that. But you are working with us and growing us in that, and we are so grateful, Lord. Help us to do what you did in getting ourselves thrown out of church. Lord, you took yourself all the way out of heaven to the very cross. There's no price that we might pay that would ever match that. So give us that kind of compassion that moves us. We pray it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, join me standing. Our song.